This is the La Trobe University podcast. I am Matt Smith. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. It all depends on where you're standing. And joining me today is Professor Peter Wilson. He's the head of the La Trobe University Dental School. Welcome aboard, Peter.
Thank you.
Nice to have you here. So you've opened up the new dental school this year in Bendigo. It was the first year of it.
That's correct.
What sort of challenges have you faced in opening up that dental school?
Oh, significant challenges. Recruitment of staff, preparation of curriculum, ensuring that the students receive teaching in their first year. I only started in position at the end of January, so as you can imagine, it's been a bit of a rush.
The end of January this year?
That's correct.
Wow. Is it you that's been spearheading this the entire time?
No, there was the vast part of the initial work was by Professor Mark Tennant from Western Australia, and he's been instrumental in setting up the dental school in Bendigo, and he was instrumental in setting up the dental school in Griffith, South Queensland. He's gone on to work with the Charles Sturt University with their regional and rural university, and he's now also involved with the James Cook in the far north of Queensland.
Right.
So he's leaving us, but he's done an amazing job of helping us get this set up. However, I arrived in January to try and get the thing working.
So you got a bit of a trial by fire, really?
Well, it was a bit of a surprise. I even ended up teaching myself for the first 4 weeks, which I wasn't planning to do. It meant the course got running.
So have you done a lot of teaching in the past, or is it...?
I was at the University of Melbourne for 17 years, teaching undergraduate students to do crowns and bridges. I was responsible for looking after the final year of the undergraduate course, and I ran the specialty program in prosthodontics, which is the specialty of replacing teeth.
Why Bendigo? Why was Bendigo chosen as a place to open up the dental school?
Bendigo was chosen as a place to open up the dental school because La Trobe has a significant presence in Bendigo, and La Trobe put forward a proposal to the state government to create a dental program. It follows on from an already commenced Bachelor of Oral Health Science program, which teaches dental hygienists and dental therapists. Bendigo is a very thriving regional city, and it's an excellent base to have as our home base for the dental program. We will be sending our students out to clinics in Mildura, Wodonga and Melton for clinical experience.
Will there be 30 students, I assume?
30 students will largely be taught in Bendigo.
Right.
We will be sending out fourth-year students and fifth-year students to the distant clinics. We will also send out some final-year or third-year students in the Bachelor of Oral Health Science program to the distant clinics too.
So will that hopefully lessen the waiting period in regionals
areas for
dental care?
The clinical capacity is being increased. The students are in training and they're not as productive as a normal dentist.
Yeah.
But there are advantages not just in having students in place and providing some treatment provision. It also will provide some centres for professional development for the local dental community to be involved. There'll be a whole raft of things that come along with dental students being present.
So why aren't there more dental schools in Australia? Because this is the first one to open up in 60 years, is that right?
That's not quite correct.
Griffith
have opened up on the Gold Coast couple of years ago, but we're the second in a whole set of expansions that have happened in the last 2 or 3 years. We are the first rural and regional school, and as I mentioned before, Charles Sturt is setting up a similar exercise which will start next year for rural and regional New South Wales.
But why is it only now that sort of thing started? Why is it?
Oh, that's a difficult question that I can't answer completely.
Okay.
I think La Trobe particularly was very well positioned with the skills and expertise in its senior staff to make a good bid to government, and it was an appropriate time to do it. Waiting lists are high in public clinics, and it's well recognised as a dental workforce shortage. This was probably apparent 10 or 15 years ago.
Yeah.
But I think it's only recently that people have actually decided to do something about it. I would say there's a long lag time in the production of dentists from dental students. It must be something like 8 years from the first idea to producing a dentist.
Yeah.
So there's a lot in process.
Yeah, it sounds like a long process.
But eventually we will be producing 50 dentists a year.
Okay. Is that just from Bendigo?
No, that's from our intake. Sorry, when you mean just from Bendigo, they will come out of the La Trobe Dental School, which yes. has several sites.
Oh, okay, yes. The big draw of having the dental school in Bendigo is that it's a regional site. How far have students been coming to go to Bendigo to attend this dentistry school?
We have a few from interstate. I know there's certainly one from Sydney. Our major objective is to have largely rural students from a rural background who train in a rural and regional area and then end up practicing in a rural and regional site. We've had a lot of competition to get into our course, and for our first year we've ended up with about a third of rurally based students and two-thirds metro students. We will be addressing this in future with special regional and rural loadings, so there's some attempt to equalise the opportunity for rural students compared to metro students.
You were educated in the UK, is that right? And you've taught over there?
I had my initial degree was from the University of Newcastle upon Tyne.
Yes.
And then I did a master's degree at the University of Newcastle upon Tyne. And then I went to America for a couple of years, Minnesota, to do specialty training. And then I went to the University of Melbourne where I did a PhD. I actually then did a graduate diploma in health administration at La Trobe in the mid-90s. And then the position came up here.
So how we do dental care here, or how it's taught here as well, how does it compare to around the world?
The dental care system in Australia is almost completely private.
Yes.
There's a minor public component for people of limited means, but the system is essentially a free market, privately driven system. About 5/6 of dentists work in private practice compared to the 6 that are in other bits and pieces like public service and universities.
Can you tell me more about fluoridation in Australia?
Certainly. When I trained in Newcastle upon Tyne, I was taught by one of the world figures in fluoridation, Professor John Murray, and he was instrumental in really teaching me some of the major issues with fluoridation, water fluoridation, and the effects of fluorides. So I haven't had much chance to use this for the past 20 years because I've really been in an area where I treat people at the end of the dental path with replacements and repairing badly damaged teeth. But I've had an interest in this, and since appointment as head of school, I feel I've got a public duty to try and take part in the fluoridation debate. And I've been on the expert panel for DHS. I visited COLAC and just been to Castlemaine to provide an expert panel for members of the general public to discuss fluoridation and how it might affect them. It's certain that it's a very important public health initiative. It's completely proven that it's very effective at reducing decay in both children and adults. It's, as far as we can tell, completely safe. The initial interest in fluoridation came from naturally fluoridated areas in America,
okay,
where there was low rates of decay and people wanted to try and explain it. And it's been conclusively proven that natural fluoride is effective, and the fluoride ion that's added at water treatment plants is just the same fluoride ion that gets added by nature. So it's an interesting story of man mimicking nature,
yeah,
and trying to optimise the level of some minerals in the water.
So is there fluoride added to Victorian waters?
Melbourne has been fluoridated for 30 years. That was in the mid-70s. The technology for fluoridating water has improved and come down in cost. And so now communities of smaller and smaller size can have their water supply fluoridated. The reduction in treatment needed because of fluoride is actually easily in excess of the cost of adding fluoride to water. And that doesn't include all the social benefits of not having toothache, not having treatment. It's generally a good thing.
So is there something that needs to be done, though, considering fluorides in toothpaste it's a general ingredient of all toothpaste nowadays.
It is now. It's quite difficult to buy a toothpaste without fluoride in.
Yeah. So is it something that we need in the water?
And that's an interesting question, because for the people who clean their teeth excellently with fluoridated toothpaste and have a good diet, the effect of water fluoridation is probably small. But for the worst off people who don't clean their teeth well, have a bad diet, and generally have higher levels of dental disease, water fluoridation is still effective. So water fluoridation has the benefit of affecting, having the biggest benefit where there's the most disease.
Sure.
And the most disease is in the people of low socioeconomic status. So really, fluoride is remarkable in helping those people who need it most when it's supplied in the water system.
Okay. Can I just ask you a few general dental questions?
Yes.
How often a day should you brush your teeth?
As often as you need to.
As often as you need to. So there's no minimum number that you should be?
I think one of the classical experiments that was done many years ago was with dental students, and dental students are often chosen for experiments because they're available and they're cooperative. And dental students either brush their teeth once a day,
yep.
Once every 2 days, or once every 3 days.
Oh, no, that's horrid.
And in fact, it was only at the once every 3 days there was actually a problem with inflammation developing in their gums.
Okay.
But that was for gum disease. I think practically most people are not superb at cleaning their teeth, and the more times they try and do it, the better.
Mm.
So I'd say a couple of times a day is a sensible time, before you go to bed and when you get up.
Okay. How often do you brush yours? Can I ask that?
Oh, a couple of times a day.
Yeah? Yeah. Does an apple a day make a difference?
A difference to what?
A difference to the quality of your teeth.
I don't think so.
Actually, no, it's an apple a day keeps the doctor away, isn't
That's
it?
That's correct.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay.
But it would be good in terms of getting your nutritional input correct.
I suppose so.
And dentistry and nutritional input are actually quite closely linked.
Yeah.
Because the major cause of dental caries is probably diet. So a poor diet in terms of easily accessible sugars and high frequency of use of sugars is a very powerful agent in destroying your teeth.
What about chewing gum and Listerine?
Chewing gum is an interesting concept, because the chewing gum may contain some agents that are useful. So if it, for instance, contains fluoride or an antibacterial agent, or even an agent that helps mineralize teeth again. For example, there's a material called amorphous calcium phosphate that can help remineralize you. So having the agent in there is one thing, but the actual mechanism of chewing stimulates saliva flow, and the saliva flow that's created is actually good for neutralizing the acid that ends up damaging your teeth. So there are a couple of ways that chewing gum is quite good. I'm not a great favor of people chewing them, because they leave it all over the place. And I don't find it particularly socially appealing.
Listerine, I looked it up, it was originally a surgical antiseptic, a floor cleaner, and a cure for gonorrhea. How do we get oral health from that? Do you know?
Well, it depends if you're a floor cleaner with gonorrhea.
He'd have good oral health if he did.
Oh, possibly. The issue is it actually kills some of the bacteria that are in your mouth.
Okay.
And that's a reasonable thing. There are other agents as well, chlorhexidine. In some of the tooth agents is a well-proven antibacterial agent that can help reduce bacterial loads in your mouth. But mouthwashes are more probably towards the cosmetic and pleasant side of things to use. They have a nice taste and leave your teeth feeling clean.
Yeah.
The main part of your cleaning regimen should be mechanical cleaning with a toothbrush. And use some fluoride toothpaste. And the toothpaste helps loosen the plaque from the teeth, and the fluoride helps with making the teeth less soluble.